Welcome to Eastside Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that the Lord speaks to you through this message. If you have any ways that we could minister to you or any prayer requests, please contact us at ebckro@gmail.com or 229-377-4154. Now let's tune into the message.
If you can't tell, we feel a little scattered this morning. I'm assuming and hoping that you do too, so you'll just show us a little bit of grace. Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. Aren't you thankful for our first responders and our linemen this week? Me too. Those folks have been working, and many still are. Some from our very own congregation. So continue to pray for them as they work. Our linemen will get done here. Some of them already have, and they will continue south or north because there's destruction in both directions. So please continue to pray for them. This morning, we're going to go to Psalm 46, and my hope for us this morning is that if we're here and you and I have a relationship with Jesus, if that's you, you've given your life to the Lord, my hope is that this morning that you would just be able to rest in Him for the next few minutes as we dig into His Word. And that as a result of digging into His Word, our eyes would be reset on what we're seeing and how we're seeing it. And that our hope would be refreshed. And with that hope, we would be equipped to leave here and go and minister. If you're here this morning and you're not sure where your hope is, my prayer for you is that you would see our hope. While things could have been much worse here, I hope that the Lord has used everything that's happened this week to turn our eyes up to Him. And so regardless of where you are, what's going on in your life, how bad it was at your house or for your family, I think this all applies to each and every one of us. So turn your eyes to your copy of God's Word, Psalm 46. Look at your copy of God's Word. Read along with me. Verse 1 of Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters His voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how He has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let's pray. Father, I know our minds are racing 100 miles per hour right now. from our yards to our homes to our neighbors to our own families to your word, back to all those other things, to our businesses, to our work. And so, Lord, I just pray that right now, over the next few minutes, you'd help us just to focus at a time that is really hard to focus. I pray that you would help us to focus not on just anything, but on you and what you have to say to us this morning. Help our ears to hear, help our eyes to see, help our hearts to be soft, Father. In your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Psalm was penned with a couple of different things in mind. I think it very clearly applies to our situation today. I think it leads us, and I think God leads us to do a couple of things with our eyes through this psalm. And the first thing is this. He leads us to look with our eyes at our present reality. Look at verses 2 and 3 in this psalm. Psalmist says, therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. I want you to picture that in your mind's eye. A disaster great enough that mountains, not just condos, not just people's homes, not just oaks that are near the coast, but mountains are moved into the heart of the sea. The earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. I don't know about you, but the little bit that I watched the news this past week, it was certainly our reality that the sea, the Gulf of Mexico specifically below us, was swelling, wasn't it? And for us, some of us, I looked at it, I'll just be honest with you, I looked at it and say, we do this every year, a couple times a year, we watch it come, and it comes, and it pitter-patters out, and nothing really happens. Anybody in that boat? And then I was wrong. This one did what everybody said it was going to do, and perhaps worse. And there was nothing we could do about it. All we could do was either run north or hunker down. And that's the picture we have here. There is nothing that the psalmist can do about this happening. The earth giving way, the mountains being moved by the heart of the sea, the waters roaring and foaming, the mountains trembling at its swelling. There's nothing that any man or woman can do, or any group of men or women can do about that. And here's what we do sometimes. I think as Christians, not everyone, but some people do this. Even though all of that's going on around them, they want to ignore that so that they can keep a happy face on. As if none of the present reality is happening. Like as if disaster didn't strike. And I know for Cairo it could have been much worse. Praise God it wasn't. It was worse for some of our neighbors than it was for us, and especially down south of us. But God doesn't want us to just look to the sky above the devastation and ignore it as if it didn't happen. He does want us to take it in. He does want us to see it. The mightiest of forces collapsing the strongest of foundations. That's part of what we've experienced. The smartest engineers design those buildings so that they won't collapse in a hurricane, and they collapse. The biggest of trees with root systems that go down and wide fall over. The thickest of trees, if you go over a county over, the roots didn't give way, the trunks did. They just broke like toothpicks. We've seen a storm like no other here. We see destruction on a scale. If you've driven the roads outside of our county, I drove up just south of Columbus, and just south of Columbus, I still had to fill up with gas at a gas station that was run by a generator. We've seen destruction on a scale that we haven't seen around here. At least I haven't seen around here. And we see this if we kind of open our eyes to history and even to other parts of the world. We aren't the first one to see this kind of devastation and destruction by force that we can't control. It happens frequently all over our world. And then if you look a few verses down, you see that kind of event in verses 2 and 3. You go to a few verses down and the psalmist starts talking about a different kind of chaos. Verse 6, he says, the nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He's not just talking about the small, weak ones. He's talking about all of them. The nations crumble. The kingdoms are about to fall. What once was steady is not steady anymore. Not necessarily because of storms, but just because of the sin of men. We even, if you just scroll back, it's hard for us to think beyond the past week, but if you scroll back 2 weeks ago and you watch the news for 5 minutes, you could see our very own country just in chaos over some of the things that are going on in our government. We zoom out to see other countries, and we see other countries in chaos. Kingdoms that are supposed to be firm and steady aren't. And as a church, we need to see all of this happening. We don't need to play like it's not and everything's hunky-dory. It's not. These things, these storms that we can't control, the kingdoms that we place all of our faith in, will crumble. Those storms do happen, and God wants us to see that. So look at our yards. Look at the houses. Look at your neighbor's houses. Look at the surrounding counties and see that these things happen. When we experience these things, God's word from front to back tells us we shouldn't be surprised by these things, right? But it also tells us that we shouldn't be dismayed or tempted to hopelessness. So, first thing we do is we look at our present reality with our eyes. But the second thing we do leads us to look, in this psalm, he leads us to look with faith to our future reality. Look at what the psalmist says. Remember, this was written about 1,000 years before Jesus. Verses 4 through 6, look at your Bibles. He stops. He just said, verse 3, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, and then as if a completely different situation, he says, verse 4, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The psalmist is looking at a future reality. If you pay attention to those two verses, he's talking about a river as if the river is God himself flowing throughout the city. Sounds familiar, doesn't it, to a conversation that Jesus had with a lady, and he says, I am the living water. We flip on over into our Bible and we get to Revelation and we see that God's dwelling will be with his people and they will be with him, his people. And we see this kind of peace compared to a chaos in verses 2 and 3, a peace in verses 4 and 5, a peace that will happen in the future. We know this to be true because of the rest of the Bible tells us how. Jesus taking away our sin. Jesus coming back again, preparing a place for us to be with him for eternity, where sin will reign no more. Death and destruction will be no more. So as we look at the destruction around us, as we look at the quaking kingdoms and we see more storms, we see those things, but we also look with faith to a future with our Lord where those things will no longer be a reality. Where his presence meets our every need, like living water. where his very presence is our security. So in the midst of chaos, in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of disaster, we look at those things, but then we look with faith to our future in Christ. You with me so far? And that's not all we look at. We also look at our present reality with faith. So we look at what we can see with our physical eyes. We look at around at the devastation. We look at what we can't see, but we need faith to see in our future, the future that Jesus promises at his coming again. But we also look at our present with that same kind of faith. Here's the reality of the temptation we face when we go through things like this. It's a spiritual temptation, but it's such a practical temptation because, just like Dustin said, and I've heard multiple people say it as I've talked to people about what's happened over the last couple of days. They walk out in the yard and they look and they say, I don't even know where to start. Who said that? I don't even know where to begin. And so we're overwhelmed with the present reality. Our minds are going from one problem to the next, to the next, to the next, back to the first, to the third, to the second, to the fourth, to the seventh, back to the first, right? And so the temptation is to be consumed with what we can see, with the problems we can see, and they're endless, so it's hard to even get our minds off of them. And if we can't get our minds off of them, we can't keep our minds on the promises of the Lord. And that's the temptation, is to forget those things. Not that we stop believing them, it's just that in the minute by minute, hour by hour, frustration by frustration, we begin to live as if those things aren't true. And Jesus doesn't want us to live like that. Look at what the psalmist says. He's pointed us to several different things. He's pointed us to present and future realities, disaster, the future reality of a kingdom where we will be with our God. He will be our peace. He will be our protection, our shield. But throughout this psalm, he says something over and over and over again. Look at verses 1 and 2, where he starts this psalm. With this truth, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. In the first part of verse 2, therefore, we will not fear. The temptation is to look around and be fearful of what we can get done, can't get done, what may happen in the ensuing chaos, be overwhelmed by all of that. But the psalmist says this, God is our refuge and strength. Notice, the psalmist does not say God will be our refuge and strength. He is our refuge and strength. The psalmist doesn't guarantee an absence of disaster. In fact, he dwells on it for two whole verses. He guarantees a present help in trouble. And that help is our God. You go down to verses 7 through 9. He says it again in a different way. So verse 1, he says, God is our refuge and strength, a very help, very present help in trouble. Verse 7, he says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold. In other words, look. That is a command. That word in your Bibles, behold, is a command. Look at the works of the Lord. How he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. So all the chaos, whether it be natural or caused by men, he's bringing it to the end. And he starts that statement off with verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. Again, not will be with us some date in the future. He is with us now in the midst of these things. God of Jacob is now our fortress. And you keep on going. Verse 11, He says it again, the Lord of hosts is with us. The word host there, we don't use that word in our everyday language, but it's the same word. You can translate it the same way from the Hebrew, armies. The Lord of armies. What kind of armies? Not armies of men, armies of angels. The Lord of angel armies is with us now in the midst of this. He was with us Wednesday night and Tuesday night in the midst of that. The God of Jacob is now our fortress. Not will be, he is. He won't be our present help in the future. That's not what he's saying. He will be our present help in the future, but he is also our present help now. And those are the kind of things that we forget to think about and to dwell on when we are tempted to dwell on the chaos that's right before us. Refuge and fortress. He protects us. Strength. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to start. I'm not sure how I'm going to get through this. How many have heard or maybe said that this week? Heard that said, I'm not sure how I'm going to get through this. Or get to the other side of this. I'm not sure how I'm going to get all of this done. The Lord is our strength. How many people have already experienced help? Heard a story yesterday. Brother Todd, can I share it? Brother Todd walked out of his yard. He was one of those people I was talking about. He said, I don't know where to start. Don't know what to do next. And he said, I don't know, what time was it yesterday morning? 11:30. He'd been in his yard for a couple hours since that morning. And a team of people, Christian brothers and sisters from an organization, Rapid Relief, Christian Rapid Relief, shows up, big equipment, chainsaws, got the stuff that he didn't know how he was going to get out of his yard. And the Lord, through his people, provided the help that he needed. And I know some of you experienced that very same thing. And some of us need to be the help that the Lord provides for people that are waiting on his help. He is the provision of exactly what we need. While others fear, while others stir in chaos, verse 2, the Lord leads us to not be fearful. Therefore, we will not fear because of these things. Verse 10, the Lord commands us, be still and know that I am God. I am all of these things, a fortress for you, your strength, your very present help in all of your trouble. So be still and know that I am God. We sang a song a moment ago, It Is Well With My Soul. And we can't sing that apart from the cross. That's why in the third verse or fourth verse of that song, I'm not sure which one it is, we sing about the cross. Because the cross is what guarantees our help in trouble. That is how God provides us help in trouble. That is how God becomes our strength and our shield, our protector, our fortress. You think about the nations raging, and you think about the most powerful nation on the earth at the time of the crucifixion was Rome. They put our Lord on the cross. The people that were supposed to be, some of them that were supposed to be his people, that were supposed to recognize him, didn't recognize him, and helped put him on the cross. The nations raged. But some of those men and women, after the fact, once they saw him die upon the cross, and they saw the earth shake at the death of the Son of God, and they saw the sun go dark at the death of the Son of God, they recognized him. The earth recognized him. The creation of God recognized him. And then some of those men and women recognized him for who he was. Surely this was the Son of God. We have hope in the midst of every storm, because of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. We can sing victory whether this building stands or falls. We can sing victory in Jesus because of what Jesus did on the cross and him walking out of the grave. Because he reigns and is alive and reigning today. He will be exalted. Some of us just need to rest in that. We just need to know. Some of us need to look at present reality and compare that with the power of our God, the fact that he is our fortress. Some of us need to look with faith to our future reality. Some of us need to look at our present reality with faith, knowing that he is our present help. And just a practical word of encouragement. Some of you I know are in need of help. Don't be shy to voice that need. Some of you are beyond your immediate crises and can be of help to others. And I want to encourage you that if you can be, do. We're just practically like, we're going to open up our showers this afternoon from 3 to 6 for you guys and for your neighbors. We're going to have somebody running the ladies' shower and a man supervising the men's shower. I'm going to meet up here. If you can meet up here and you're not having to take care of your own stuff, and that's okay if you are. But if you aren't, I'm going to meet up here at 2. And if you can, bring your work gloves, any appropriate tools you think you could use, and we're just going to go. I'm going to see if I can't find out the biggest need that we can actually be of value to and put a dent in, and we're just going to meet here at 2, and we're going to go. We'll have till dark. So if you can, do. If you have a need, let us know. We want to be like our Lord and be with you through this and help you in this. If you know of somebody, same thing, let us know. Today I want us to end singing. It's not going to be a typical end to a service, but I don't want it to be today. I want us to sing, reminding ourselves and reminding each other of the victory we have in Jesus. Because of his life, death, and resurrection, he has the victory regardless of our circumstances here and now. He is in us. He is our strength to help others and to get us through whatever we're going through now. And we can sing of that today. If you have questions about following Jesus, I'd love to talk to you. Placing faith in him for salvation. Dustin would love to talk to you. Pastor Roby would love to talk to you. You just got to tell somebody so we can sit down with you, show you what it means to trust him and his word. Let's pray, then we're going to sing to him. Father, we do love you. God, we thank you that you sent your son, lived a perfect life for us, then died on the cross in our place. We thank you that at that moment, God, you were in control. Perhaps the most seemingly most chaotic moment in our world's history when men executed the Son of God. God, you were in control. We thank you that the earth shook recognizing that, and you were in control. God, we thank you that Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, today, that you are in control. We thank you that because your son did not remain dead in the grave, he walked out. We can trust you and have a relationship with you, and you be our fortress, our strength, our very help, present help in trouble. God, we thank you for that today. And Lord, I pray that for those that are struggling to see with faith, God, I pray that you would give them more faith today to see beyond their circumstances, to be reminded of the hope they have in you. God, I pray for those of us who have escaped with our immediate crises, God, I pray that you would use us to be salt and light, to be your hands and feet, to be with the people that are hurting, to reveal your love to them. God, I pray that you would use us in a mighty way this afternoon and in the days to come. God, we love you. We praise your great and mighty name. We know that you will be exalted. We thank you for the privilege of being called your sons and daughters. Amen.
Hello, my name is Andrew Donaldson, and I am the pastor here at Eastside Baptist in Cairo. And I want to thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. If the Lord is working in your life and you have questions about anything you have heard, or you have questions about what it means to trust and follow Jesus, we want to connect with you, pray with you, and pray for you, and walk with you through God's Word to answer your questions. The best way to do that is by clicking on the contact link at the top of our webpage. There you will find our phone number, 229-377-4154, and our email address, ebccairo@gmail.com. Thanks again, and we hope you have a wonderful day.
Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Still your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so good. Kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up.